Welcome to the Movement Church Podcast. Our vision is to be a movement of people finding their way back to God. For more information about Movement Church, including attending a worship experience, getting connected, or to give online, please visit movementcolumbus.com.
Well, there have been a couple times in my life where I was seeking the approval of others on an all-time high. There was the phase of middle school when I fell in love with not just one cheerleader, but most of the cheerleading squad. And I wanted to do whatever I could to impress them. And so depending on the week, if I needed to shop and buy Nike stuff, I would buy Nike stuff and made sure they noticed. If they liked American Eagle, I would shop at American Eagle and made sure that that they noticed. There were times in middle school where I would let people dictate what music I listened to, what band I said I liked, even if I'd never heard of the band and knew nothing about the band. I was like, yeah, really digging their new album. You know, I would drop that to certain cheerleaders on the cheerleading squad. There were times that I would put myself in certain places, walk the whole way around a hallway just so I could happen to accidentally walk into someone. And so there were moments that I was distracted and wanting to impress certain people. My sophomore year of high school, maybe I grew out of that a little bit with girls, but I became enamored with wanting to impress the baseball coach. And so I would do whatever I had to do for this guy to think that I was the greatest person ever, right? I would just wear like a baseball shirt every day and I would say, see my baseball clothes I'm wearing, right? I would wear just like anything I would do. There'd be off-season workouts that two people would go to and I was one of those two people. I wanted him to notice my work ethic. I wanted him to see me and see who I was. And when he said, hey, we're going to have an opening for somebody to start this year, but it's not the position you've typically played, I said, that's fine. I can play any position. I just wanted to make this guy happy. I just wanted him to notice me and I just wanted his approval. And this doesn't just extend to middle schoolers in relationships. This doesn't just extend to people in high school and college wanting to impress coaches or wanting to be an athlete. There was a time not too long ago when I was a student pastor and dear friend of mine that I worked for was kind of asking me to do something that I didn't feel like God was calling me to do. I knew full well that God had called Kristen and I to start a church where people could be a movement of people finding their way back to God. Maybe you've heard of that church. It's this one that you're sitting in, right? It's Movement Church. And I knew that God had put that on my heart. I knew that that is what he was asking me to do. And yet, the place where I was, the place where I was working, they were just asking some different things of me. I was a student pastor and we had a large ministry and things were good. And they just said, we want you to focus on what's going on right here. We want you to really just put down roots. We want you to not worry about the future, not worry about those other things. We need you to see what's going on here and see this right now. And we really need you to put down a foundation and help us build and be a part of what God is doing here. And this was my boss saying this. And this was someone who was smarter than me and someone who was wiser than me and someone who was more spiritual than I was and someone that I respected and someone that was safe. And he was saying, I want you to put down roots here. I want you to invest here. And yet I knew that God had called us to do other things. And so I remember, and I think I've shared this before, there was a night where Kristen and I had a conversation and she said, are you looking for God's approval or are you looking for your boss's approval? And I don't think that most people would think of it that way because I was in ministry, right? I was a pastor. I was doing good things and God was using me. And yet there are just some times in life where whether it's a relationship, whether it's sports, whether it's accomplishments, whether it's our career, whether it's our family, whether it's our parents, whether it's even in vocational ministry, we chase things and we chase things that we think will make us happy and we chase things that we're told will make us happy and will fulfill us. And ultimately those things don't fulfill us because we were created to desire approval. And sometimes even as Christ followers, as people that are living on mission, even as people who are trying to do ministry and trying to do God's work, we realize that we're going for the approval of other people. And that desire for the approval of other people takes us off course of what God wants us to do. And so this week, I want to continue the conversation that we started last week. We've been talking about leadership, but I want to talk about how chasing approval can affect our leadership. And so last week, we started this series called Endgame. We said said that we want to talk about leadership as a church. Often when we talk about church leadership, people think that we're talking about the politics that your grandma and your aunt got mixed up in when you were little at your home church. And we don't want to talk about church leadership that way. We start getting worked up. No, we want to talk about the concept of leadership. And we just happen to be together as the church this morning. And so I want you to know that God has told us very clearly in Scripture, and I believe that all of us are leaders. All of us have the opportunity to lead. All of us have been called to lead, and it's just a matter of what that looks like. It's not if, but when. And so in this series, we've been looking at the book of 2 Timothy. This book is unique because it was written, obviously, to a man named Timothy. It was written by Paul, who's kind of famous because he wrote most of the New Testament. And this is a letter that Paul is writing to Timothy as Paul has been imprisoned. This is basically what he believes will be his final instructions to his disciple, to this guy that he's raised up, Timothy. They are close friends, they're like family, and he's writing these final instructions. And so the reason that we call this series Endgame is because he's boiled their whole relationship down to, hey, Timothy, don't forget this, 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 and this. This is the last thing that he ever said to this guy that he has raised up to be a leader and to come after him. And so we want to look in 2 Timothy today as we talk about the end game, as we talk about what are some final instructions for young leaders for us as a young church. So I want to invite you to turn to the book of 2 Timothy if you've got a Bible with you. If you don't, there's probably one under your chair, around your chair, somewhere close to you there. You'll see a Bible on the floor. And we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 to 26. And it's on page 915. If you want to turn there, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 to 26, page 915. And if you don't have a copy of the Bible, I invite you to take that Bible that's there by your seat home. Would love for you to make that your own. Would love for you to mark it up, take notes in it, bring it back every week. Because ultimately, we want people to have their own copy of God's word that is theirs, a Bible that they know, a Bible that they've got notes in, a Bible that God is using to speak to them daily and weekly. And so that is our gift to you. But let me read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 to 26, as we talk about leadership and we talk about what God is calling us to. It says this, verse 15, "Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. Avoid worthless, foolish talk that only leads to more godless behavior. This kind of talk spreads like cancer, as in the case of Hymenaeus and Philetus. They have left the path of truth, claiming that the resurrection of the dead has already occurred. In this way, they have turned some people away from the faith. But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription: The Lord knows those who are his, and all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are used for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone. Be able to teach and be patient with difficult people. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants." Last week, we opened this series and we talked about this concept of leadership, looking at some of the things that Paul was saying in his final letter to Timothy. And we talked about three main points. We said that if we're going to be leaders, and we know that we are called to be leaders, we need to serve people like Christ. We need to serve the world like Christ. And so people need to see us extending ourselves and going beyond what would be expected to serve and to love and to honor them. We also said that if we're going to be leaders, we need to be raising up others to do the things that God has let us do, right? We know that eventually, this is not a surprise to you, eventually we will all die, and there needs to be someone after us that can build the church, someone that can continue carrying the banner of the gospel. And so we need to raise up apprentices, just like we saw Jesus doing with the disciples. We need to raise up other capable leaders to come after us and to expand the church. And as leaders, the third thing we talked about, we said that we need to expect suffering. That's not exciting to hear, but we know that when we're suffering, it probably means that we're leading, right? When we're suffering, it means that we're leading. And when things aren't going the way that we expected, it means that there are people looking at us and that we're dealing with people, we're interacting with people, we're managing people, we're shepherding people. That means you're a leader when you're suffering. And so those are the three things that we spoke out of the beginning of chapter 2 this week. And so we want to look at this chapter. And honestly, in this section we just read, Paul kind of hones in on the day-to-day actions of being a leader. Last week was some of these hierarching, like do this, do this, do this, apprentice someone. And yet we wonder, what does that look like day-to-day? What does that look like hour to hour? We hear some of these banner phrases. We hear things like on a Nike commercial where they say, just do it. And you're like, yeah, just do it. And then you get to your spot where you work out on Monday morning and you're like, what does just do it mean, right? And so sometimes just do it means that you need to do some push-ups. Sometimes just do it means that you need to do some cardio, and there's a breakdown of the day-to-day and the hour-to-hour. And so we see right away in this passage in verse 15, what does it look like day-to-day, hour-to-hour to be a leader? And it opens, it says, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Your opportunity to be on mission, your opportunity to be a leader means that you and I have the opportunity to receive God's approval. I don't know if we ever think about that or we ever sit back and really meditate on that. Do you ever stop and think that you have the opportunity to receive God's approval? This passage says, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. And the Greek word, the root word there for working hard is one that you'll never hear again. It's spoudazo. It's a word that you won't ever say, but I want you to know that it means this. It has the connotation of being eager or being zealous, right? And so as we think about the fact that we have the opportunity to earn God's approval, that should be something that we're eager to get to and something that we're walking toward. Maybe this time of year, you can think about that moment that you wake up on Christmas morning, except for parents who are woken up at 5 a.m., but try to remember what it's like when you were 12 and you were 7 and you were 5 and you were still excited to run down the steps and find that pile of presents and see what Santa or mom and dad had brought you. Remember how eager you were. Some of you can't remember that because you're jaded adults. And so to all the suburban women, remember about a week ago when Chip and Joanna Gaines came out with that new line at Target. Remember how excited you were to get to Target on a Thursday afternoon, right? You remember now. You're not as, okay, you're warming up. You're not as jaded. Some of you fellas, remember what it's like when you just want to get home and watch Monday Night Football and not talk to anyone and just eat a whole bag of pizza rolls, right? You're remembering this, okay? These are the adult versions of being eager and being zealous, right? There are moments that we're expecting that something is going to happen. We're excited. Our new show is coming out on Netflix. There's a whole new season and we can binge watch the whole thing. And we're pumped about what's about to take place. And so that's what we're reading here. When this passage says that we should be eager, we should be expectant, we should be zealous, we should be excited that we have the opportunity to work and receive God's approval, that's what it's getting at. Now, I want you to know that just because this passage says that we're eager for God's approval, it doesn't mean that we earn God's love. It doesn't mean anything like that, right? We know that Romans 5:8 says that while we were still sinners, while we were still messed up, while we were still trapped in all of our wrongdoing, Jesus came and gave his life for us. So he didn't say, hey, you better straighten up and then I might die on the cross for you. Or hey, you need to get your stuff together and then I'll come and take care of things. No, Jesus loves us no matter what. He gave his life for us no matter what. And yet we should be excited about the opportunity to receive his approval. We should be excited that we have the opportunity to work for him. And so this idea coming out of this passage kind of reflects a story that Jesus told in his earthly ministry, the parable of the talents, when we're told that there were some guys, their boss went away and they were given some money and they had to invest that money, they had to work with that money, they had to try to expand the money their boss had given them, the money that their boss had entrusted them with so that they could honor what he had given them. We see that in Matthew 25 and in this passage, this boss says, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into my joy, because he saw that some of these men that worked for him did their best with what he gave them. And you and I have that same opportunity. God has given us influence. God has given us a career. God has given us a family. God has given us a home. God has given us money. God has given us many things, and he's asked us to expand his kingdom, to do work for him, to live on mission. And so we're told that we have the opportunity to receive God's approval. We have the opportunity to expand his kingdom. And so the question that really would be on our minds this morning would simply be this: what kind of things would receive God's approval? What kind of things please God? Is it just smiling at people? Is it holding doors for people? Is it listening to good Christian Christmas music? Is it buying a toy? Because they talked about that at church, and I think that's one of those good things. What are things that would actually please God? Because we have this opportunity, and so what does it look like day to day, hour to hour, week to week? What does it look like to run hard, to live on mission, and to receive God's approval? What does it look like to be a leader? Well, I want you to know the things that please God are very, very simple. This passage kind of breaks them down, and here's one of them right here. Your words. Your words are kind of the essence of who you are. Because scripture tells us that out of the overflow of your heart, things enter your mouth. And so if you're saying it, if you're speaking it, if you're putting it out there, that's what's going on in your heart. And so how can you control your heart? How can you rope your heart in? How can you set your heart in motion? You can worry about what comes out of your mouth, and your words have the opportunity to please God. We're told here in verse 15, right there where it says at the beginning, be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly explains the word of truth. And so we have this opportunity. We know truth. We know what scripture says. We know what the gospel is. We know that God came and he gave his son. He sent his son so that we would know truth, so that we would know the gospel, so that we could set the world free. And we have the opportunity to explain that to the world. We have the opportunity to represent that to the world. And so it's our job to let our words speak truth. We talked about this a few months ago. We did a Sunday where we focused on spiritual disciplines, and we said that we need to engage in solitude and study and prayer so that we're anchored in truth, so that truth is spilling over from our lives, so that when we're talking, we know what we're saying, so that when we're asked a question, we're anchored in theology and doctrine, and we can say, well, here's what scripture says about that. Our words direct who we are and where we are. And our words are one of the ways that we can receive God's approval and one of the ways that we can honor him with our lives. And so often we're let down by our words, or we're caught off guard, and our words don't represent who we want to be and where we are. And it's because we're not taking time to step away. We're not taking time at the beginning of the day, at the end of the day, to practice solitude. When's the last time that you were alone with Jesus? Just you and him, and no noise, and no phone, and no TV, and no screaming kids in the background, and no worrying about the paper that's due. When is the last time that you were alone with God, just letting him speak to you, just practicing solitude, just letting yourself be anchored in what he wants to say to you? When's the last time that you engaged in study of God's word in a way that it was beyond what you knew? Not just reading a chapter at the beginning of the day because that's what someone told you should do and that's how you won't have to feel guilty. When's the last time that you started a study of God's word or looked up a book? Or when is the last time that you did something that was beyond your current knowledge? When's the last time that you said, you know what? I don't know a lot about that period of the Bible, and so I'm going to study it. I don't know where history intersects with the Bible. I don't understand the life and the ministry of Jesus. I don't understand the expansion of the church. I don't understand this pillar of theology. I don't understand sanctification or some of these big words I hear. I want to know more about God's word. I want to grow in my relationship, and so I'm going to go out of my way to study God's word and deepen that relationship so that my words honor God, so that I'm able to teach others, so that I'm able when asked a question, to intelligently defend and represent my faith. Your words have power, and your words are an opportunity to honor God. And for our words to honor God, I think that we have to take time away in spiritual disciplines. So when's the last time you spent time in solitude? When's the last time you studied something that you didn't understand and put hard work into that study? And when's the last time that you just set some time aside and prayed to God? When's the last time you prayed for 15 or 20 minutes? Not, thanks for a great day, God. Thanks that I didn't lose my job. I hope that everyone I know doesn't die this week. Amen. When's the last time you just lifted things up to him? All of the things that are burdening you, all of the things that are stressing you out, all of the things that are weighing you down, all of the things that subconsciously you might realize you haven't even given to him yet. If our words are going to represent and honor God, if our words are going to receive his approval, we have to be anchored in his word. Are you spending time practicing spiritual disciplines? Sometimes even as we spend time practicing spiritual disciplines, we can get puffed up. We can develop this knowledge that just gives us an ego. And so I want to say this, that just because you know something doesn't mean that you're being obedient to it. And so if you study God's word, you have to let it speak into you. You have to let it change you. You have to be obedient to what it's asking you. But your words have the opportunity to receive God's approval. I love that this passage goes on, and in verse 16, it talks about worthless talk. It says, avoid worthless, foolish talk that only leads to more godless behavior. And then as if Paul maybe knew that Timothy wasn't going to catch this, or maybe that you and I would be reading it someday and wouldn't catch this, God reminds us as he speaks through these guys. In verse 24 says, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, be able to teach, and be patient with difficult people. So there's something that will affect your words that's not just your ability to study or pray or be alone. Your patience will control your words. And your ability to avoid ignorant arguments, as it says there, your ability to avoid quarreling and your ability to be kind to everyone will affect what the world sees from your words. I think most of us probably have Facebook. I saw a stat this week how many active Facebook users there are in the world, and it was scary to me because I felt it was like everyone but six people, right? But there's probably a lot of people in here that have social media. There's probably a lot of people in here who have stopped following their Uncle Frank because he can't stop saying stupid stuff, right? And you've got that cousin and that aunt and uncle and that person from high school and someone you went to college with, and you are so sick of those people saying whatever they're saying about that group of people or this group of people or about whatever. What do people think when they're looking at the things you're saying? The things that are coming out of your mouth, the things that are representing you, the things that are representing your faith, is there any chance that someone could say that you're getting involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights? Is there any chance that someone could say that you're just trying to quarrel with people, you're just trying to get a fight going because you want to feel something or you want to be right? Is there any chance that someone could say that about you? It might be the sports world. It might be something relational. It might be politics. Okay, it's definitely probably politics, right? We all know that, right? But there's probably some of us that could let this speak into our lives. And if we're going to be a leader, if we're going to be a leader who lets our words control where we go, and if our words are going to honor Christ, we need to take this to heart. We can't be pursuing arguments, and we can't be pursuing things that are ignorant. Our words have the opportunity to please God, and so we have to watch ourselves politically. We have to watch ourselves as we interact with people. Some of us need to watch ourselves as parents. We don't realize that the things that are going on in our house, the things that are coming out of our mouth, our kids are picking up on those things. I don't want to pick on anyone else, so I'll just say that when I see generational sin, when I see my kids picking up on things that I do, when I see them repeating those things and taking cues from my words, there is nothing more depressing in life to me than that. When you just think, wow, I taught my kid to sin like that. Good job, Mark. But many of us have people that are looking up to us and are watching us and taking cues from our words. What are your words saying to your children, to your family, to your friends, to the people that work for you and work with you? What are your words saying? Well, our words have the opportunity to please God, and so do our pursuits. So do the things that we do. Verse 15, going back again, it says, "Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth." And so this verse is implying that there are people who would say that they are working. There are people who would say that they are pursuing Christ. There are people who would say that they are Christ followers. There are people who would say that they are on mission. And yet they wouldn't want people to see their pursuits. They wouldn't want people to see their deeds. They wouldn't want people to see their calendar. They wouldn't want people to see their to-do list, because none of those things reflect a heart and a life given to Christ at all. Would you be able to say to someone, "Hey, check out my to-do list. Check out my calendar. Check out my budget. Check out these things that define me. Because I'm hoping that you'll say that they communicate that my life is pointed toward Jesus. I'm hoping that the things in your life, like your to-do list and your calendar and your budget and the people you're hanging out with and the conversations you're having, would say that your life is on mission, that your life is dedicated to receiving God's approval. If that's the case, we should be able to be unashamed. But I just want to ask quickly, are there things in your life, things that are taking place, things that are going on, things that you haven't chased away or gotten rid of yet, are there things in your life that you wouldn't be proud of if someone found them out? Are there things in your life that you know are a far cry from receiving God's approval as you live on mission? Verse 22 in this passage tells us that we should pursue holiness. It says to run from anything that stimulates youthful lust and pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Is there something in your life as a leader, as a Christ follower, as someone who's living on mission that you need to remove because it's not any of those things? Is there something that's the opposite of righteous living, the opposite of faithfulness, the opposite of love, and the opposite of peace? What do you need to remove from your life? Final question as we begin to land the plane this morning. I think our words and our pursuits really get at the question, are you ready? Are you ready to live on mission and to follow Christ? Are you ready for your life to honor and glorify Him and receive His approval? Because if you are, you may have to change the things that are coming out of your mouth. You may have to change the way that you speak. You may have to change the way that you speak to people. You may have to change some of the things that have defined you. You may have to change the things that you're pursuing, because you may look up and realize that you're only pursuing someone's approval. And yeah, that person is a good person, but their approval is not the most important thing. You may realize that you were looking for the approval of others, or you're looking for the approval of money or success or something that's just not Jesus. You and I, as leaders, as people on mission, as Christ followers, were created to want approval. And sometimes we want the approval of good people, people with good intentions. We want the approval of mom and dad. We want the approval of our older brother. We want the approval of our boss. We want the approval of a lifestyle. We want the approval of who people think we're supposed to be. And as we chase those things, as we run after those things, we find that our words and our pursuits are off course, and we find out that we're not ready for God to use us. We said we wanted our life to be given to Him and defined by Him, and we want to live on mission for Him, and yet we're not ready for Him to use us day to day and hour to hour, because we're too busy over here running our mouth and saying these things and taking ourselves off of course. We're too busy over here with a to-do list that looks like our goal in life is to have fun. We're not ready for God to use us. If we're not ready for God to use us, that doesn't mean that God's not going to move, that God's not going to work. I think Scripture is very clear that God does what He wants to do, and God accomplishes what He wants to accomplish. But that just means that if you and I aren't ready for Him to use us, He's going to use someone else. And you and I miss out on the blessing of being used by God. of working for him, working for his approval? Are you going to miss out on what God wants to do through you because your words and your actions aren't lining up with who he's called you to be? I want to ask this morning, are you looking for approval in the wrong places? Are you looking for approval with people who don't have the same vision as you? Are you looking for approval with people whose ideals and values wouldn't line up with what God has called you to do? Are you ready for God to use you? Would you say that the words that come out of your mouth, the arguments that you're creating, the person that you're becoming, would you say that that person is ready to be used by God? Or does something need to change day to day and hour to hour? What changes do you need to make? Is it just as simple as showing discipline, working hard when no one's watching so that you can be the person you want to be when people are watching? Is it as simple as showing the discipline to study God's word? Is it as simple as changing the things that you talk about? Is it as simple as pursuing different things and different goals and redefining success as someone who wants to work for God's approval? We said last week, and we'll say it again this week, everyone in this room is a leader. It's not if you're a leader, but when you're a leader. You're leading people, you're leading someone, and so you have to lead yourself. If you're going to live on mission, if you're going to pursue Christ's approval, if you're going to honor him with your life, you have to make sure that your words and your actions and your deeds and everything about you is pointed toward him. Those are some of Paul's final words to Timothy, and they're words for us. Let's pray together. God, I confess that I am often thrown off course by my words and thrown off course by my actions. God, we want approval. We were created to seek out approval, and yet the approval of others is a sickness to us. God, we want to work, we want to live, and we want to lead for your approval, and you have spelled out very clearly what that looks like in your word. God, help us to speak words that honor you. Help us to pursue things that honor you. Lord, I pray that as we lead, as we interact with people, as people are looking on, whether it's family, whether it's our kids, whether it's people that live on our hall, whether it's people we don't even know are watching us, people that we work with, God, I pray that they will see you. They will see a life that would find your approval. God, I pray that today, as we worship, as we respond, you'll help us to just take a reflective moment and just ask, God, what needs to change in my life and in my heart so that my life reflects you? How can I change my words and what's coming out of my mouth? How can I change the ways I spend my time and my money? God, what needs to change? What do I need to do day to day, minute to minute, hour to hour to keep myself on course? How can I spend time with you? How can I steer my heart and steer my life to honor you? God, be with us as we respond. Give us clarity, give us action, give us steps. We want to live for you. We want to be on mission. It's in your name I pray. Amen.